Hello and welcome to The Logistics Tribe. I'm Boris Felgendreher, founder of The Logistics Tribe, and today we have an episode that Marco Prügelmeier, the host of today's show, recorded in Dortmund, Germany at the IFOI Award 2021. IFOI stands for International Intralogistics and Forklift Truck of the Year. That's an independent organization with the mission to identify and recognize the year's best intralogistics products and solutions. Marco interviewed two guests at this event. Gordon Riske is the chairman of the executive board of the VDMA's Materials Handling Interlogistics Association, and he's also the CEO of Kion Group, one of the world's leading providers of forklift trucks, warehouse equipment, and supply chain solutions, with more than 36,000 employees generating an annual revenue of over 8 billion euros, with iconic brands such as Linde Material Handling and Still. After the conversation with Gordon, Marco sat down with Wolfgang Hillinger, member of the managing board at DS Automotion, a globally operating systems provider and manufacturer of driverless transport systems based in Austria. So two bona fide experts in the fields of intralogistics and autonomous vehicles. Well, including Marco, make that three experts. Let's go. First up, Gordon Riske, and right after, Wolfgang Hillinger. Enjoy.
Hi, Gordon. Welcome to the Logistics Tribe. Nice to have you here.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, you are with the VDMA. That's, for our listeners, the German Mechanical Engineering Industry Association. And we are here at the IFOI testing facilities. There is a mashup going on outside regarding the VDA 5050 standard. And we can talk about all those issues today with you. But to jump in to the newest technology trends, which technologies do you see as the most important for the mechanical engineering industry overall?
Yeah, good question. I never viewed our industry as mechanical because everything we do has electronics and software in it. And perhaps that's the biggest change coming in the years ahead is, you know, if I think of artificial intelligence, digitalization, automation, there is not one particular trend that we have to face. All of these things are converging together to bring about products that are more competitive for the customers, easier to use, and in many cases with logistics, especially after the pandemic, that are touched by human hands as little as possible. Mm-hmm. So automation, autonomous products is exactly what's coming ahead.
You mentioned converging technologies. That's kind of all the different technologies fitting in together, right, and playing together. So that's an important issue. And where do you see the machinery suppliers? Where can they profit the most out of those new trends and technologies?
Well, I think for the machinery suppliers, the first very important thing to consider is we're in an industry that's growing. It's always good to be in industries that are growing rather than shrinking. E-commerce will certainly continue to grow. And if you have intelligent technology, software, new solutions, you can take things like a distribution center and increase the throughput. You can make your customer much more efficient with intelligent products. And so the customer and we as suppliers will both benefit. You could call it the classical win-win situation.
Yeah, you mentioned the e-commerce booming now, also connected to the COVID situation right now. But if we are taking a closer look at the logistics industry overall, as we are here at the IFOI Award, where do you see the biggest changes in logistics in the future?
Well, customer pressure, competition, but customer pressure is increasing. Everyone has to optimize somehow their production footprint, their logistics, their processes within within their business setup. And so automation, digitalization is a big change coming from, you know, many companies, you said it before, are mechanical, maybe think too much mechanical. We have to get behind the curve to make sure that we are up to the standards for automation, digitalization, because that will really change our industry.
What is the role of standardization in this game? Obviously, VDA 5050 is a standard that is or could be very important in the future for logistics companies. So where do you see that role playing of standardization?
Well, to me, I was also in VDA Standards Association and in prior experiences with the VDMA. And you see what China and US are trying to do in setting standards. Standards are truly an enabler. And you see here on the IFOA floor, you'll see, you know, the VDA 5050 standard being used. And what does it allow? It allows different pieces of equipment, different products from different suppliers, from different countries to operate together. So interoperability together, to communicate together. And if it's easier for the customer then to use in a common interface, that will increase the volumes, it will increase the acceptance of customers using this type of equipment. And to me, it's also a prerequisite for things like Industry 4.0. Mm-hmm. If every small company tries to make their own standard, we will never have volumes to make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Do you see this standard, maybe if you take the VDA 5050 standard, could this possibly set a new common way for robotics and logistics, or even beyond, and beyond Germany, so that other countries are adapting it?
Well, that's certainly the aspiration. It should be our aspiration to make sure that it is a standard that is accepted worldwide. And if you think of what's happened, especially many of the engineering standards in Germany, whether it's the VDI standard, the ISO standards for safety and machine equipment, those have been adopted in long discussions, mm-hmm. but have been adopted globally and have enabled many, many companies to participate on a more equal level playing field. And so I think that standards, this one in particular, could really give a boost to the automation industry.
And in other countries also. So
absolutely,
worldwide,
in other countries,
yeah?
and hopefully on a more global basis.
Okay, yeah, because that would be excellent, so that all the robots on the shop floor could basically talk to each other and
exactly.
interact, and yeah, it doesn't matter if they are from China or from Europe or from the US. So that would be a big benefit, I guess, for all the customers. If I'm thinking about innovations, Gordon, I'm always, I don't know why, but I always have the sustainability aspect in my mind. And that's why I wanted to ask what kind of role plays sustainability for the VDMA and what kind of projects are ongoing there?
Well, I think it's front and center, despite pandemic and everybody thinking of different things. My view is sustainability should be at the centerpiece of not just the VDMA, but of all companies and all consumers. Because if you don't have a sustainable platform going forward, energy-efficient systems, an environment that works, that's safe for everyone, is also a prerequisite for any company to succeed, for any society to grow. I think at our own company, most of the products we do are electrically driven with hydrogen fuel cells using emissions-free energy, and all companies have to find a way to completely remove their carbon footprint in the years to come.
As we are here at the IFOI Award, just for our listeners here again, the IFOI Award is the International Intralogistics Forklift of the Year Award. So it has to do with innovations, of course. So Gordon, what did you like this year so far from what you have seen from the IFOI regarding the award itself? How important is such an award for all the industry, in your opinion?
Well, industries have faces, and it's humans at the end. Mm-hmm. And every industry and association, but our industry needs some showcases, and the IFOI awards and the test procedures that we're doing, the test days, test camp, etc., are important events as showcases for the industry to get more knowledge, to connect to each other. This is one of the few B2B places you can be this year for actually testing equipment, thanks to a good hygiene concept. But, I believe it's very important, and it's also the obligation of the VDMA to provide showcases for our industry.
gotten one question that I ask everybody on the podcast, of course, because I'm an innovation guy and I'm looking always into the future. What is your view on the future of logistics? Let's say if we take 2030 as a time frame, how is logistics going to look like in the future from your perspective?
Well, first of all, 2030 is not so far away.
Yeah.
And in my view, the prospects are fantastic. Mm-hmm. As I said, it's a growing industry. It's an innovative industry. And it's a key industry for sustaining, delivering things, goods and services to everywhere, to humans all over the place. Yeah. So you also have a very solid purpose behind it. Yeah. Technologically, I would say the innovation and digital technologies, the dream of some of our customers to have a warehouse without lights on, running fully automatically, we will get very close to in this time to 2030. I'm very confident
really?
Of that.
Okay. Do you think that really the lights will be turned off by then? Or
if I think of a large warehouse today and the difficulty in getting labor and the difficulty on some of these jobs, I just think of some of our big customers and the picking operations that these people go through. It's very difficult to sustain the promise to the customer under those conditions. So the drive for clean, efficient automation will continue, and at some point we will have solved the problem with sensors, with interoperability, see our standard for VDA 5050, for a warehouse, a large warehouse, to run basically in the dark.
It's amazing that you see it already there, and I like that view. And as you are not only part of the VDMA, but you're also the CEO of the Kion Group, I just have to ask you the question, what are your future plans in the Kion Group? Is there anything that you can tell our audience already at that point?
Well, at Kion, we have actually one simple vision, and that is to understand our customers' material handling needs better than anybody else. And if we understand them, then to provide the right solution, not the best, not the technically the best, just the right one that makes some more sense. And so if I look at some of our things that we've done in the past, our forklift trucks now all IoT capable, so a connected forklift. Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, probably wouldn't have thought so much about it. But a forklift that talks to the network. If you look outside here, you see a product, the Igoneo, basically an autonomous helper, because it actually walks or drives with the person. If the person stops, it stops. So it works hand in hand.
The one that does follow the
exactly.
person.
Exactly. It follows the person. It knows when somebody's there. It has sensors to maintain the safety. But it's an assisted product that makes life easier for this very tedious job. Or if I look at our automation systems, Dematic, the multi-shuttle 2, or the ability to scan 400 boxes per minute through a distribution center, a sortation system, those are amazing technologies, and they all require software. They all require digitalization, a high degree of automation. So your first comment, mechanical, I would say we're mechanical software, very integrated with all the new technologies in our industry.
So is the Kion Group striving towards a digital business and becoming more and more a software company, or is there still the core of the mechanical behind that?
Our core is to listen to customers and understand, and that drives us to become much more of a software company than we ever thought we would be.
All right. Yeah, that's a great statement. Thank you very much, Gordon. Thank you for being on the show here.
Thank you for asking me, and it's a pleasure to speak.
All right. That was Gordon Riske, CEO of Kion Group. Please stay tuned, because next up is Marco's conversation with Wolfgang Hillinger from Diös Automotion. Let's go.
Hi Wolfgang, welcome to the Logistics Tribe.
Hi Marco, thanks for inviting me to this talk.
Wolfgang, you are the CEO of DS Automotion. Could you tell us a little bit more about your company and what you are doing?
Yeah, DS Automotion is a global HEV and AMR supplier. We are acting since more than 35 years in this business. And our main business is, of course, in the automotive, in the intralogistics and in the hospital industry. So we are one of the HEV supplier who develops and build their system by themselves. That means when we talk about navigation technology, fleet control systems, it's a very important core competence which is in our house, and therefore we are very proud. Mm-hmm. And I think it is one of our main benefits of DS Automotion.
So you're doing most of the part by your own, in your own company, so...
Exactly.
Okay. Wolfgang, but you are not only the CEO of DS Automation, you are also... you're playing a role within the VDMA, the German Mechanical Engineering Industry Association, is that right?
That's correct. That's correct. I'm also a member of the board of the VDMA department for HEV solutions. And I think here in Dortmund, when you look at the HEV mashup, the HEV mashup is more or less the first test application where we show our jointly developed interface development between VDA and VDMA 50-50. It's the first test where different vehicle supplier and manufacturer are managed under one central fleet manager. I think many manufacturers are a member of the VDMA, like DS Automotion. And all of us, we have developed together this new interface. And this gives us the opportunity that we can run under one fleet manager. Mm-hmm. But means on the other way around, I think all of them are able to manage other HEVs from this group under their own fleet mm-hmm. control manager. That means there's not only one fleet manager who fits to this development. I think mm-hmm. most of the companies who joined in this development, they are able to manage this system.
Yeah, and that's a very important thing that you mentioned there, because now it's going to be possible that multiple different AMRs and AGVs are driving in one factory, right? And can actually basically understand each other and navigate together. Yeah. And we were just joking outside in the test area that it looks a little bit like Robo Wars, but it's not a war, a Robo War. It's a friendly Robo War out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I think it shows. That all of us, we are working together for one goal in this development. And I think this is one of the great success story in this development. So you see here, different vendors are working together with all the same spirit mm-hmm. And the same goal. And you see there is no big secrets between these companies. They are talking to each other, they help the other ones talking mm-hmm. about how they do this and that. So it's an inspiration for all of them. And yeah, I think it's a great story here, mm-hmm. as you can see.
And coming back to your intro, where you said that you are actually doing a great chunk of your work within DS Automotion, and you also have your own fleet manager, which is Navios. How do you see that interconnected to the VDA 5050? Do you see that the VDA 5050 is a risk for your own fleet manager, or do you see it as an opportunity to to get and make the world of the robots more important and more connected?
I think there are more or less two answers. Let's say from the perspective of the VDMA, I think you will see different answers. Mm-hmm. I think because each of their supplier, they see this topic a little bit different. Mm-hmm. For us as DS Automotion, we are acting globally. And of course, we are also one global partner for the automotive industry. So what we highly appreciate is more or less global standards. Mm-hmm. So we like standards because that means for us it's more or less a kind of risk management. We know exactly what are the requirements on the customer side. And at the end of the day, it means we need less resources during the integration. And of course, we can deliver the highest quality. And I think when we started the journey of this development of the interface, I think all of us, it was clear that at the end of the day, we will see different fleet control managers at our customers, at the big OEMs like Audi, Daimler, and Volkswagen. And therefore, it was not a big surprise. And I think if customers are really asking in some projects and they would like to provide their own fleet control manager, I think it's up to everybody if they join or if they will not join in this situation. I think it's also for us, it's not a clear answer, yes or no, because it's in some cases, it's depending on the situation. Mm-hmm. It's also depending on the vehicle designs and requirements. And I don't see a big conflict with our own fleet manager, because I think, first of all, automotive industry is not the only industry we deliver. But I think I like the challenging part in such kind of discussions, because mm-hmm. I'm expecting the new fleet managers, they need to catch up some experience and some developments, mm-hmm. what we have done in the last couple of years. And on the other hand, I think our and other ones, we have to develop our fleet controls furthermore. And at the end of the day, I think it's our aim that we provide the same system and maybe a better one.
Yeah, I have to admit, when I came in this morning and saw the arena there and the robots are all navigating on one common area, I was a little bit proud, because back then when I was still working for BMW and we started this journey, I think 4 years ago, with the VDA and then together with the VDMA, we didn't know where it would lead us and how many would participate actually. And but now we see it's kind of working, and yeah, you can see the robots driving on the field. So I think it's a good step. Wolfgang, do you think that this could be actually a model for also other countries other than Germany, or maybe for the world, yeah, so that the robots can work together? Because we were discussing this just previously in our interview with Gordon Riske, also the CEO of Kion Group, and he mentioned that he sees a big potential in the VDA 50-50 standard. How do you see it?
I would say at the moment, when you talk, for example, with General Motors or Ford in the United States, they don't care about this VDA or VDMA 50-50 at this moment. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, if you talk to the big tier 1 and tier 2 supplier, which are acting globally, mm-hmm. and also in Europe, for these customers, the VDA 50-50 is a topic. So from my point of view, the VDA 50-50, if it's a real success story, it can get a global standard. Mm-hmm. If other countries are defining a different way or interface or system, I don't know. But I guess if they have the same requirements or idea, I'm expecting it will be the same system or solution we developed.
Or a close outcome, close by, so that it will basically evolve a common standard at the end of the day. Uh-huh. Very interesting. And another question would be, DS Automotion is also probably more coming from a project-driven customer relation. Yeah? And this was the traditional way to introduce AGV systems as a project. And now maybe in the future, not even yet, no? In the future, it could be possible that you connect your robot, your AMR, like you do connect your iPhone to the Wi-Fi today at home. If this happens, then the industry could quite get some change. What do you see there? Do you see that coming, or is this still really far away outlook that I'm giving here?
Yeah, first of all, I think, yes, we, DS Automotion, we are coming from the same business like the other well-established HEV supplier. So it started in the automotive industry, mm-hmm. and a lot of them are requesting many customized HEV applications, and they are still mm-hmm. Looking for them. But of course, in the last 10 years, I would say there's a big change, and the product development is raising up also in our company, so especially in the interlogistics area. Your question about plug-and-play installation, I think, of course, it's a little bit looking into the future. And I would not say it's a clear answer, yes or no. But some products, like, for example, the small HEVs or AMR, mm-hmm. It might work maybe in the future. Because the concepts, the navigation, the controls, architectures, it goes into this direction. I would say high sophisticated HEV applications with complex load handling applications, stuff like this. I think it will never be a typical plug and play installation.
Mm. So there will always be a project part with it, with the more complicated.
Exactly. So I'm expecting for different vendors, they will find different market mm-hmm. where they do their business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds reasonable. Regarding the market, the AGV or AMR market, let's focus on the AMR market, because I also remember that when we started like 6-8 years ago, a lot of new players are now out on the market with AMR, pure AMR solutions, like Agilox, also from Austria. How do you see that tendency there and this development?
I would say welcome in the world of HEVs and AMR. I think it's a fast growing and fast changing mm-hmm. Business. And if you don't keep your eyes always open in terms of new technology, new features, I think, and if you can deliver state-of-the-art technology, I think you will run into big troubles. So that means for each supplier, you always need a lot of research and development budgets every year to can deliver this technology. So you mentioned Agilox. I think, of course, Agilox, it's a competitor for us, but it's not a big competitor because they are acting in the different areas. But they have nice applications, nice solutions. And I would say that gives us new inspiration for new developments. So, and that's what it is. I think you have to look into the market, see what the other ones are doing, and see how the developments are going on.
Why are they all coming from Austria? What do you have there in Austria? Yeah. That is emerging from Austria.
No, I think in Austria, of course, maybe if you noticed a lot of interlogistics companies like DGW, Knapp, mm-hmm. SSI Knapp, right? Also started in Austria. So that means there's a long history in mm-hmm. the interlogistics. And I think in the interlogistics, there's also a big change from this stationary conveying system also to flexible systems. And therefore, I would say it's a good area. And I would say in Austria and Germany, it's more or less education-wise, it's the same. So you find good, motivated and educated people. Mm-hmm. And therefore, maybe that's the reason.
Okay. How do you see the development that also former customers like BMW and my former company, that they are starting to entering the AMR market? How do you see that?
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny because in some cases now we are in competition, mm-hmm. and I hope it will be a fair game, because otherwise I think it's not so so easy for us how we deal mm-hmm. with companies like BMW in the future. But on the other hand, I think the HEV market in the world, it is big enough. So, and I think at the moment, I have no concerns that we have less or too less business in the future.
Yeah, you're right. The growth numbers by year for the AMR market, they are probably way beyond 30% per year. So there should be a lot of room for multiple competitors from Austria and from other parts of the world, right? Wolfgang, coming back and taking a closer look at the logistics, because we are here at the IFORI Award. Where do you see the biggest changes with all the new technologies, not only on the AMR sector, for logistics? And how will the logistics of the future will look like in your mind?
I would say the biggest changes are in the area of the autonomous navigation. I think the AMR suppliers, they came up with this new technology. And I think for us, we have to catch up. And we also did all these developments. And now we bring this kind of technology into our products. So that means we make a combination of our well-established technology, the new technology. Let's say we put from every world the best together and make a better product and solution. So this is what I'm expect.
And what does that mean, or where does it go regarding the fleet managing systems? Where do you see this trend go? Is it all moving to the cloud? Is it all moving to a standardized VDA 5050 or whatever standard that is jumping in there? Is it moving towards real-time digital twins and always having a look at your current real-time factory and shop floor? Will it more and more be AI-powered with AI features? Where do the fleet manager move towards?
Yeah, it's not so easy to answer. I think the topic about fleet control in the cloud, there are a lot of discussions and I would say a lot of pros and cons. I think everybody keep his eyes on the discussions on the developments. So, and I guess the fleet control, from my point of view, it's not the main topic either. It runs on a server-based system or in a cloud system. What I see the AI technology is raising up. Mm. So this is more or less the next level for our autonomous navigation in the HEVs and AMRs. And there are new sensors and new vision technology is coming up. And maybe in that kind of applications, we need some more support, maybe in terms of 5G technology, mm-hmm. And also maybe some cloud technology, because then some high performance algorithm will run in that area.
Mm-hmm. Because so otherwise, not on the edge anymore, but
exactly.
In the cloud.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Otherwise, we need some high performance processors mm-hmm. in the HEVs. Which makes no sense. So yeah, there's a lot of topics are going on. So, and you see, it's a very interesting time and a lot of developments.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any specific new sensors that you were talking about? New sensors. Do you have any examples for that? What is new, and also for the AI integration? What kind of features do you see on the horizon there?
Yeah, I think the AI goes more or less in this vision systems. Mm-hmm. So that means that we detect, that we see situations, and based on the situations, we decide what we will mm-hmm. do. So that means also to avoid or passing by mm-hmm. Some obstacles, but also to detect areas which are loaded or unloaded. I think it goes more or less that the customer places his pallet somewhere and we detect and find, see, mm-hmm. and pick up.
Okay, so the robot finds his pallet
exactly.
by himself.
Yeah. Okay. I think we had this pallet finding I think 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. But with the other technology, mm-hmm. let's say in that way.
Now it's much easier.
Mm-hmm. And I'm expecting this is more or less the next level mm-hmm. of autonomous.
Mm-hmm. And from the sensor side, do you have any examples there for new sensors that are coming onto the market?
Not really. I would say DS Automotion, and expecting also most of the AGV supplier or AMR suppliers, sensors, I wouldn't say it's commodity, but it should not be the core competence of an AGV supplier that he develops his own sensors. Because if you develop your own sensors, I think it cannot be cost positive. It's always negative. So
yeah, true. Well, thank you, Wolfgang, for sharing your insights with us, with the Logistics Tribe, and thank you for being on the show.
Marco, thank you for inviting me, and it was a pleasure.
All right. That was the Logistics Tribe podcast episode with Gordon Risky and Wolfgang Hillinger. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Please make sure you subscribe to the Logistics Tribe podcast so you don't miss any of the future episodes. There are some really exciting guests coming. I'm Boris Fegentreer. Until next time.